I want to talk to you about what I teach at my masterclass, and this is primarily a class of people who have declared they want to go for warrior status. They are not content with just being foot soldiers. They want to work their way up the ranks to become something significant in the army of God. That does not mean that they are people who have a high profile or who are seen or known by anyone except Almighty God in the throne room. Because a warrior essentially is a worshipper and an intercessor and a person who sees God face to face, hears from him, and does only what the Father tells them to do. So what we want to look at today is our peace and our rest levels. I often used to ask people, what's your peace level on a scale of 1 to 5? 5 being I'm so laid back I'll fall off the chair. 1 being I'm in a state of nerves and anxiety. So the first thing you can do as you listen to this is to test out your own peace and rest levels. They're a good indicator of where you are. You know, last week we talked about focus and being in or out of alignment, and this one follows exactly in the path of that. But this time we're looking at peace and rest, and we are looking at the weapons that the enemy employs to take us out of that place of peace and rest. God has placed us in Christ, the one place where we can get all our needs met and our prayers answered. But there is this little word, if. If is a very important word. Perhaps you will, perhaps you won't. I wish you would, but it doesn't look like you will. If and you will, if and since it is so. That's the Greek translation of the little word if. So if you will hear this, put it into practice, you will find a difference in your spiritual walk, in your natural environment. You will find the whole thing gearing up. It will help you tremendously. So the scriptures that I want to highlight to you are Philippians 3, 1-19 and Psalm 91. The caveat on Psalm 91, right at the beginning, is he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. All of this is about staying in the place in which you have been put in Christ. Learning that you are not an initiator, but a responder to what God initiates. The practice of going to God with a shopping list of what you want has to cease in this place, because you go to him to find out what he wants to do, and then you ask him to do it. But we're moving on a little bit. The thing that I want to talk about is the enemy's weapon with you. 3 of them: penetration, demoralization, and subversion. They're the 3 key weapons that he uses with us, and all relate to the way we think, and all relate to penetrating our rest and our peace. So what we are after is being a people who are peaceful. Because remaining peaceful in every situation defeats him every single time. So if we can stay in that place of peace and rest, we are going to win. If we are lured out of that place of peace and rest, he's tucking his napkin into his neck, lifting his knife and fork, because you're on his menu again. So rest and peace are weapons that we're developing. We aren't there yet, and this is what our tests and trials are all about, amongst other things. We need to have tests and trials. Each time you come through a test or a trial, you should be feeling in a stronger place within yourself. 101 pounds pressure on the inside to 100 pounds pressure on the outside means you are not going to cave in. Every time we are caving in, there is more work to be done. No shame, no blame, just more work to be done in getting ourselves under control and into a place of peace. This very much runs along the same lines as love is peaceful, love is kind, love is gentle, love is self-controlled. Self-control is a huge part of coming into a place of peace and rest. If you cannot get control of your own thinking, of your racing emotions, then you've still some way to go. If you're on a treadmill of life, not able to stop, can I suggest that you step right off it now? Because that treadmill is the enemy's weapon to keep you in a place of constant activity. The Lord made me laugh this particular morning when he said, don't just do something, stand there. What he was doing was twisting our frequent saying of don't just stand there, do something. In the church, we are so apt to do something. We've got to pray. We've got to do something. If there's a problem, we've got to immediately go to prayer. And there we start pounding the heavens and the carpet with prayer. But he says, don't do something, stand there. It's the complete reverse of what we have hitherto done. And it'll take some breaking in your mindset that's formed as a Christian, that you don't have to constantly run to the throne to prayer. You run to the throne to find out what he wants to do. That is what we run to the throne for. So when the storm hits, as it will, we run into our high tower in Psalm 91. We run to our refuge, not away from it. Because if we run away from God in the time of trouble, we run straight into the jaws of the enemy. If you are in Psalm 91, the enemy can't find you there. He won't come into the throne room. So, penetration, demoralization, and subversion. The first thing the enemy seeks to do is to penetrate your thought life by placing a doubt there. Having placed that doubt that you then pick up, he brings his demoralization in afterwards. Did God really say, not for you, not in these circumstances? After all, look at the way you've been. You can't go to God with the week that you've just had. All lies, of course. But if you pick it up and run with it and believe it, the next thing is subversion of your will. By the time he's subverted your will, he's got you in agreement with him that you're no good, not worth anything to God. You might as well give up. And it's no good praying. He's got you. You have lost your peace. You've lost your rest. You're out of alignment, as we spoke of last week. But the thing is quickly remedied. It's not a long haul back to God. He is by you. He's near you. He's in you. So the whole thing revolves around your being able to bring yourself to a place of peace and submission quickly. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. You can't get it out of that synchronization. God first, submit, resist. If you try to resist before you've submitted, you'll find yourself with a bloodied nose because you're not in the right place. There is a sequence to these things. So let's talk about warriors. Warriors are not primarily all fighting, waving their arms in the air and shouting. I've been there, seen it, done it, got the t-shirt, got the DVD, whatever's popular these days. I've been there and I have learned that that is not the way. So if you want a shortcut and learn from my mistakes, hear this. Being a warrior most of the time is about being the last one left standing when everybody else has been wiped out. Warriors are quiet people and they are confident people. They know who they are and they know who he is. They know their authority and they move at his direction within the sphere of that authority. They do not move in that authority before they are told to move in it. Jesus only did what the Father told him, and we want to be Father pleasers. We want to only do what the Father tells us to do. So becoming a warrior is a progression from a foot soldier up the ranks. You don't go up automatically, but when he promotes. To recap then, warriors know who God is for them all the time, even when they mess up. Warriors walk in the grace and the goodness of God. They know what it is to walk in grace. Graham Cook described it once as being a great trampoline. He'd been wrestling in his vision that he'd seen with the enemy and got pushed to the edge of a cliff. And before he knew where he was, one big push and he was over. And as he fell, he looked down and there was this huge trampoline marked Grace. And he bounced hard on it, bounced up. As he went back up past the enemy, it kicked him in the teeth and landed in a higher place than he was when he first started. That is grace. So how do we prevent the penetration of our minds by the enemy? It's a really simple answer. We take every thought captive to Christ. We just do as the Bible tells us. When a negative thought about a situation or a person or ourselves comes into our mind, when a rebellious thought comes into our mind, when wanting to give someone a piece of our mind, which is not very helpful, comes into our mind, we give it to Jesus. And we develop the habit of giving these negative thoughts, which are darts from the enemy, to the Lord. In that way, we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. It's not where we are now, but it's where we're going. We must start somewhere. So if you want to do this and become someone who is going to be significant in these end times in the army of the Lord, it's going to start with winning the battle in your own head. And it will be intense, because most of us are accustomed to a negative mindset. It's the overhang from the fall. We judge, we criticize, we look at others, we measure ourselves against other people for good or for ill. It's a lifetime habit, but it can be done. It's not where we are, but it's where we're going. And as to the battle, do it afraid, but do it. Courage is not the absence of fear. It is actually doing something in the face of fear. I'm going to do this anyway. Because the first thing that will happen when you decide you want to do this and get some control over your thought life and stop him penetrating your thought life is that he'll redouble his efforts. He's not going to stand still, and God will allow him to do that. He will allow the enemy to contest. Why? To make you strong. This is the whole purpose of tests and trials, is to strengthen you. So that you will stand up on the inside, so that you will have backbone, not wishbone, so that on the day of battle, you will be willing. It says in the Psalms, my people will be willing in the day of his power. Don't you want to be one of those that are going to be willing in the day of his power? You don't want to be sitting on the sidelines with your backpack, eating and munching on your sandwiches, do you? Come on, you don't. So just to end now, discipline and self-restraint are the two top qualities of a spiritual warrior, because it is self-discipline that will make you persevere when others give up. So your question might be now, what do I have to stop in order to pursue this? How can I fit this in? Who do I have to become? Well, he will tell you. This is where you really start your intimate walk with him. Don't go getting your own ideas of what you need to give up. Go to him, wait on him, respond to him, obey him, do the last thing he told you to do. If there's any outstanding obedience, you know, guys, it's disobedience. Sorry about that. It's not just, I just sort of left it a bit. That is disobedience. So let us become obedient children, walking with him, looking up into his face expectantly, so that we get to the place where we're looking forward to the fight, where we relish the battle, where we know that the enemy is going to be crushed shortly under our feet. Oh, God bless you, mighty, mighty men of valor, all of you. God bless.